All right, this is the Marysville Board of Education regular meeting of Thursday, August 15th, 2013. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mr. Mabee.
Here.
Mrs. Devine.
Here.
Mrs. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Glasser.
Here.
Mrs. Powers.
Here.
Okay, can we rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, next up we have the adoption of the agenda. I need a motion to approve the agenda as listed.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Is there any discussion?
No high point report unless somebody else wants to offer one.
Okay. And I don't think we have a finance committee report
either. I do not believe there's one either. Okay, so we will take...
I have legislative stuff.
You do? Okay, so remove the high point report and the finance committee report. Any other changes? Okay, not then. Can I have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, the superintendent's report.
First, I'd like to start with last month we approved a new high school principal, and he was busy on vacation with his family, but Aaron is here tonight. So, Aaron, if you'd like to stand up, I'll give you the opportunity to say a few words. I think Aaron's met everyone here, but I can tell you he's done a fantastic job already. We're excited about his fresh ideas and excitement and enthusiasm stepping into the high school. So we're excited to have him on board.
And I am certainly excited to be on board and to be here. Being able to come back 6 years later, I started my career as a teacher in Marysville, and to come back 6 years to lead the high school is a fantastic opportunity, a very exciting one for me. Just having the staff back the last couple of days, it's even more exciting, and can't wait for the kids to get here on Monday and Tuesday. We certainly had a lot to celebrate today. Our highest PI score ever preliminarily at 106, some great scores across the board, and some things to celebrate. But also we talked about where we need to go, that we need to look at these. We're more than just these scores, and how can we take our high school to the next level? And we got some administrators and teachers to lead some breakout PD sessions to really set that this is going to be non-traditional staff meetings. We're going to break apart. This is about instruction and learning, and we're going to learn and get better. And so I think that is something different, something new for our staff that we took right away. I know Chris and I, we led a technology session on how to improve our instructional practices, and that went really well, and we got some positive feedback already from that. So things are going great. Like I said, we're excited for the kids who are coming just around the corner. And I can't thank you guys enough for this wonderful opportunity that I have to lead your high school. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Welcome aboard.
Mm-hmm. Glad to have you.
I just wanted to hit some highlights of this week. Staff came back. We had convocation yesterday.
Wednesday.
Time flies. Was a good success. We talked a lot about three areas that we were going to focus on, safety, AMOs, and really designing and building our classrooms a little bit differently, looking at the Common Core and instruction and assessment. Thought it was a positive atmosphere. Mr. Mabee was there as well. Appreciate you coming.
Absolutely. I'm always the highlight of that meeting, right?
The high school staff in the afternoon took part in the ALICE training, and then we've done a series of ALICE trainings since. The last one is tomorrow in Creekview, and Edgewood are the last buildings to go tomorrow. Is that right? Bunzler was tomorrow as well. And we were receiving great feedback about that training, so certainly appreciate the partnership with the Marysville Police and the Union County Sheriff's Office. They've been phenomenal. And the JTM this week were there yesterday, took some pictures and listened to what the staff is doing. So I think it's been a big mind shift for our staff, and so then it will be up to the buildings to continue that work around safety as the year goes on. All of the safety cameras and new buzzer systems are installed. So they will be functional as the school year starts. So excited about that change as well. Reminder, opening of schools, we have some staggered starts going on, so I want to hit those again. On the 19th, so grades 1 through 4, on the 19th, alphabet letters A through G. The 20th is H through O. The 21st is P through Z. And on the 19th is freshman only day at the high school, and the 20th, everyone else comes to the high school. So remind everyone of those pieces as well. Also, week before last, we had an administrative retreat, and it ended up to be almost the entire week, but we also did the ALICE training. We worked on assessment literacy, so as you know, our focus for this year coming up is around assessment. So really got in-depth about looking at quality of assessments, reliability, some of those pieces. We did SLOs, OTES, OPES, kind of did an overview of everything to kick off the year. And that was went very, very well. Also, wanted to touch base again. YMCA is definitely on board. We're ready to go starting Monday with that collaboration effort at intermediate school. They will be providing 4 staff members from 11 to 1 to work with our kids and organize activities during lunch periods. So we're super excited for that to take place as well.
So those are all voluntary for those kids at lunchtime to go do their,
right,
like intramurals, or is it?
Mm-hmm. They're going to set up different activities. They recognize that some students wouldn't be interested in everything, so they're going to try to do something with music, maybe Zumba sometimes, basketball. So they have a great plan. They've worked with Tim and Karen to plan that out. So
it's a good way to keep those kids active.
Right,
fantastic.
Let's see. Reminder that earlier last week, I think, we approved that we will have a ballot on November for a renewal of 656. No new taxes for our community, so we want to start spreading that message. Chris Mank and Rich Baird are going to be our co-chairs. Confirm that, so we will be getting together shortly to start that work. So just want to continue to say that every time we're out and make sure to remind
Can we
everyone.
Clarify, too, the rollback, the homestead rollback? As long as they are renewals, then the state continues to,
yes,
to subsidize,
right,
those.
There will be no change.
Right.
Anytime you add in, so if it would be,
right,
a replacement, then you would lose that opportunity.
I just heard that some people felt like there was a little confusion even in some of the articles that they had read or some other places. So that is,
right,
just kind of,
well,
important.
Well, then they
to
kind of changed and said, okay, well, if you're on the ballot in August, we wouldn't count it. So
yes.
I think it wouldn't hurt to over-communicate that fact.
Right.
The last thing, it was announced by Aaron at convocation that we do have a teacher, Bill Keck, in our FFA department, who has received national recognition for his work. He'll be receiving an award in October. So when he returns with that award, I'd like to have him here and honor him in our board meeting like we kind of started last year as well. So super excited. It's a phenomenal program and really one of our best examples of project-based learning when you think of how you want that classroom space to look. So very excited for Bill and his accomplishment. Certainly well deserved. Mm-hmm. So that's all I have. Quite a list.
All right.
I do have a question. So on the staggered start, what's the mindset behind that, or the reason for doing that?
Well, we talked about that a couple months ago, but the feedback we're receiving from staff is the amount of assessments we do in 1 through 4, mm-hmm, takes up such a large amount of instructional time to start the school year.
Right.
So if we can get the kids in smaller groups, get a lot of that assessment out of the way, then we can start using that assessment to drive our instruction a little bit sooner in the year.
I had people ask me, and that was the answer I gave, but I was, mm-hmm, like, I think this is why. But,
mm-hmm,
so
well, for
remember.
Some groups, it was well into September. Before, and some had some things come up in October that they still hadn't been able to get all that assessment done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were pulling in subs and doing things a little bit differently, and so this is, other school districts do it as well, so it's something we're going to try this year and see how that works for us.
Does this also help us knock out the state-mandated reading assessment that we have to do by,
yep,
September?
Yep.
Whatever.
It gets everything in line, and really it helps us focus on using that instruction. We know with a third grade reading guarantee, we want to be on target as quickly as possible. So that would all help to that end.
Very good. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Then we are going to move on. Treasurer's report.
I gave everybody a copy of the permanent appropriations that will be approved next month. Just to go through them a little bit. We approve them at the fund level. And usually we do a booklet, but because of the negotiations, because of the changes in state codes, there's no way we can get a booklet done this year, unfortunately. But I did give you the revenue for general fund and also by the objects, and the objects are going to be changing because of the changes with the negotiated agreement. So the property taxes for fiscal year 14, we base those off of what's in the forecast. We still are up in the air on our values yet. We haven't received anything from the state, from the county auditor, so we'll still see changes there. Unrestricted grants and aids, that whole area is still sort of up in the air because from what we heard Monday at the budget analysis and discussion seminar is that ODE does not know exactly if the numbers that were given to the legislators are the correct numbers. So those may be changing some. So who knows? It's the best. You use the forecast, you use it the best that you know at the time, and it's always changing. So those are the changes. Our grants were closing out last year, so those carryovers will go into this year's and based it off of what we knew it in June, basically, and what those are. We'll always have changes in the federal grants and in areas because of the fact that you'll have reappropriations from the feds in January and February. So with that, that's all I've got for now. If you have any questions on those, we can look those over and see what if you got questions, and then we'll approve them next month.
Okay.
Did we ever decide we were going to do a work session in October?
Yeah, I think we hadn't scheduled it, but I think we had penciled in that first week of October.
Okay. Yeah, that's what
I was going to touch that at the end of the meeting, okay. And we'll just talk about that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I put that on my notes to schedule that. So, any other questions? All right. Thank you for that. Next up is the legislative report.
Well, there's been a few pieces of legislation introduced. One on August 12th, House Bill 242 is for college tuition. And it's creating a pilot program called Pay Forward, Pay Back. And the idea is that students who are residents of Ohio can go to a state institution without paying tuition or fees. And so what they would do is sign some sort of a contract so that once they have graduated and are working, they would pay a percentage of their annual adjusted gross income for a number of years to either the state or, I guess they haven't really worked that part out yet. So
what was that one?
It is House Bill 242. On August 6th, House Bill 240 regarding special elections was introduced, and that is to eliminate the ability to conduct special elections in February and August. On July 31st, House Bill 237 was introduced regarding Common Core, which is kind of lengthy, but the idea behind it is to kind of stop everything going on with Common Core and to give more time to look into it. And all of these bills have just been introduced, so they haven't been sent to committee or anything because they haven't had any sessions. And on Monday, July 22nd, Senate Bill 159 was introduced for the property tax rollback. So to extend the 10% and 2.5% rollback exemptions for new and replacement levies through November. So anything that would be on the ballot then. And they have declared an emergency on that one. So if it would go through, then
hasn't everyone already missed their...
I know.
Yeah, you had to make your decision already.
Yeah, so, well...
Good point. All right. Well, I guess if you're on for new money already and you took that challenge on, I suppose that.
Yeah, you would fall into that group then. This was kind of interesting. On July 24th, a Senate bill was introduced to require the carbon monoxide detectors in every building of the school.
All right. Keep an eye on that one.
Yeah, keep an eye on that one.
All right. Is there any questions about the legislative report? Okay, hearing none, then we are going to. There's no Finance Committee report tonight, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And we're going to move on to public participation. Matt Alice would like to speak to us about school safety and security. Mr. Alice.
I just sent you all an email. So if you check, if you want to bring it open, you can read along what I'm going over. Okay. And I'm just going to read it because I wanted to get my 3 minutes.
We'll let you go.
Okay. All right. Hello, my name is Matt Alice. I live at 1237 Valley Drive. My son is going into eighth grade and my daughter is going into sixth. I'm an eighth grade teacher in London and my wife works in public education as well. We love Marysville Schools. We came here for Marysville Schools and we remain because of Marysville Schools. It provides a high-quality education. That's the reason why we still live here. I have spent a lot of my free time lately learning about school safety. I had the opportunity to see Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman speak on school violence last fall. Dave Grossman is an expert in the field of school violence. He has testified before our U.S. Senate and Congress and congressional committees. His resume is extensive. I don't want to go through it all because there's so much there. There's a link if you want to click on it. You can read about that. When I saw him speak, he helped me realize we need to do more. I am excited to hear about ALICE program. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. And it's great knowing that we're moving in that direction. Okay, so that's awesome. It's a great start, but there are other things we can do in order to make Marysville School a much harder target for those who want to hurt our kids. First off, if you know who, has anybody heard of Lieutenant Dave Grossman? Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. Okay, anybody seen the speaker by chance? Mm-hmm. Really? Good. He's going to be presenting his Bulletproof Your Mind presentation, which is what I saw last year. He covers the topic of school violence very thoroughly. He will be at Kalahari in Sandusky on October 12th. The link's in the presentation as well if you're interested. Buckeye Firearms Foundation will pay your $99 fee to go see him if that is a limitation. I got his email me or call me. And I'll make sure it happens. That's true for any school staff. Okay, so if you're interested, I got a commitment from one of the guys who was Buckeye Firearms Foundation to pay for that. So that's the first step, really, is to go see him. And he is the expert in this nation, definitely an expert. We also need to pass a resolution allowing staff members who have written permission to conceal carry on school grounds. There's a resolution that other school boards have used in Ohio that I sent you as well on that. So if you want to read through the legal thing, it's there. They've used it, and it's been tested by their lawyers. So we don't need to waste our money on there. So there's a whereas and a therefore for the resolution, if you want to look through that. After the board has resolved to defend our kids, we need to find out who the staff members are that are willing to protect our kids in that manner. Okay? Now, this is outside of comfort zone for a lot of people, and I understand that. It was way outside my comfort zone when I went to hear Dave Grossman. But this is, when you think through the whole process of this and you go hear him, you will understand. Okay? So we need to find out who those staff members are, and then you need to get them trained. And that's a big thing. As a teacher myself, you need training. Okay? Even if you have a concealed carry license, that doesn't mean you're trained in how to respond to situations like this. Buckeye Firearms Foundation has a program called FASTER, which is a gigantic acronym for Faculty Administration Safety Training and Emergency Response. It is an intense 3-day training to prepare school staff members for immediate response to school shooting scenarios. Okay, and then after that, you have to give them written permission. And at the bottom of what I emailed you, there's resources. The first resource is the Arms Teachers and School Employees Manual. I have one hard copy of it. It is is very detailed on how you can go about do that, make sure everything's legal and sound. I've talked with a superintendent from a district in northwest of Montpelier School District. They are, it's a different levels of thinking and understanding. They are way beyond everybody else. I talked to the superintendent personally, and he told me that they use school funds to buy firearms and ammunition, because he doesn't want his staff members carrying on stuff that doesn't work. So, I mean, that's a whole nother mentality, okay? We're not there yet, and I understand, and I don't think we should necessarily be using school funds for that. But that's kind of the mentality that we have that's all over the board and in Ohio. So the last thing you have to do is give them written permission, and that manual will show you how you can do that. There's other practical options we can do to increase our safety in the school. One of them is 3M makes a film. I don't know if we have it. If we do, great. But they make a film so that if somebody shoots the glass, it won't shatter the glass, so you can't reach in and unlock the door. Okay, it's pretty cheap. We can install that on all our inside and outside glass. 90% of school shootings, that's not a statistic that I have, it's off the top of my brain. But from what I've been reading and what I've been researching myself, most school shootings happen because they shoot out the glass to get into the school. So you can increase how much security you have by the methods that we have, which I read the email. That's awesome. All the stuff in there is great that we just sent out this past week about limiting how people get in the building and for what reasons. But the reality is, if someone wants to find a place where they can shoot people without having any resistance, school districts. And that's where we are. And so the 3M film helps stop that, so they can't reach in and open the door or just walk through where the glass was. I don't know if we still have window stickers. I know we do in my district, but being a teacher, one thing I don't tell my students is you are not allowed to chew gum. It's a rule, don't chew gum, but I don't want to put in the brain, because what do they hear? Chew gum. That's what they hear. So if every time they walk into the school and they see a sticker that says, no guns here, you're not allowed to bring them, all they see is guns here. Okay, so it's still legal, it's still the law, we still have to follow it. But we don't necessarily need those stickers pronouncing that there's nothing here. Okay. Last part, I'll be done. The National School Safety Center reports that between 1992 and 2010, there were 468 violent deaths in our schools, including 348 shootings and 67 stabbings. In the last 50 years, how many kids or staff do you think have died from fire?
Zero.
Correct. Zero. We have all this redundancy. Let me read this because I'm going to say it twice otherwise. The discussion planning redundant layers of protection and joint efforts that have brought great success in reducing the deaths in fires can yield similar reductions in deaths from school violence. But if we want to change the trend of increasing deaths, we need to change the way we talk about and what we do with school violence. Lastly, there are resources included in the Armed Teachers and School Employees Manual at the bottom of the presentation I emailed you. That's all I have. If you have questions, I probably have answers because I've been reading books and studying stuff for at least a year since I heard of it.
Just out of curiosity, do you know what that 3M film costs?
I tried to find the cost associated to it, but I had to email an actual vendor.
We've already looked at that.
Oh, I'm just curious.
We think that the better, less expensive option maybe for us is almost like a wire mesh that does the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The 3M film is relatively pricey. I don't have the quote off the top of my head, but we looked at it in the spring already.
How many of our, I know some of our buildings have them at the front entrance already, do they not? Some, right?
But that is one of the things on our project list.
Right, is to put that reinforced glass up there?
Right.
You have an inside and outside. A lot of times, what he talks about was there's inside shooters and outside shooters. And I use shooters loosely. That's not really shooters, it's killers. Okay? A killer. You have people that are coming from outside the building, so having it at the doors, it's great. But I know in my classroom, I have glass on my door. And it's nice to have because I can see out, people can see in, and I like that. I don't like putting posters up and stuff. But I really think you need it on all your classroom doors to really protect from them being able to get in. I don't know how the doors work in all the different buildings, but like our doors, if I lock it, anybody can get out, they just can't get in. And I leave my door locked, my classroom locked all the time. It takes 2 seconds for a kid to get up and open the door for whatever it is.
At our administrative retreat, I mean, you brought up many things we've talked about, so I appreciate you coming forward as a community member and saying those same things. One of the policies that we are putting in place for this year is every classroom door will be locked. Now, some teachers like them open, but right. we're still going to require that they be locked and open.
Right.
And so that is one of the things we're looking at. And then each building itself is going to have a safety committee. We're going to encourage parents to give input as well. And work on things that are specific to that building, because quite honestly, the issues maybe at the high school are a bit different than the issues at Bundle.
Right.
So they will be working on specific plans of that nature while we continue to look at those overarching issues of, no, we don't have that wire mesh on every classroom
sure.
door, you know. But those are all things that we have in our radar, and Mike had looked at the
3M film.
3M last year. And it is pretty expensive endeavor for us, at least, to do in our building. So looking for options. There are grant funding things coming out, so we're trying to weigh all those pieces as well.
What about weapons in school? I mean, that's something that I know a lot of people wanted to have a discussion on, and I know that I want to say the sheriff had mentioned at some point talking about armed detectives in schools, and I saw it in the paper. I knew nothing beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Has that discussion happened with the safety people?
We had a breakfast with all the Union County sheriff and police departments and had that conversation. One of the big debates is insurance and insurance coverage if you mm-hmm. do those things, and I think they're still out on that from legal opinion from the last meeting we had. And to be honest, when we had the safety audits done, it was more about our own behavior as adults and things that we could be doing differently as well, as much as, you know, putting guns in schools and things of that nature. So
I also spoke with an insurance guy who insures school districts in southern Ohio. He's, I think, remote southern Ohio, not Cincinnati, but east of there. And he said there's actually a reduction in how much the school districts have to pay. And this could very, very well be different from insurance company to adjuster to whoever it is you're talking to. When I talked to him, his districts that were training their staff and allowing them to carry are seeing a decrease in liability. So
that's not bad.
I got to be honest with you. I've only heard of one district that so far voted to allow their staff to carry, and that was somewhere up by the lake. Oh. You're aware of other districts?
Most of them. And here's the thing: is I talked to the guys at Buckeye Farms Foundation. They have their thumb on it. And they are the ones, they told me about Montpelier, so I ended up talking with their superintendent, who's been on the Daily Show and everywhere else, because they were the first ones. But he says there are other districts that are doing it, but they're not making it public. And the reality is, if you decided to allow staff members to carry, you don't want to publish their names. The actual manual, the Armed Teachers and School Employees manual, discusses how you do that legally.
I think it's kind of in the spirit of like what you were saying about taking the stickers down. I think the same idea of just having that mystery that, you know, if there could be somebody armed in that
right.
building is enough.
They're not looking for a fight when
yeah.
they go to a school district. They're looking for a body count.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to a school district.
I know there is one district that armed, and I think it was in Ohio, it was one of the first ones that did it. They armed their janitors.
Right, that's what I was talking about.
Is that the same one?
I was thinking it was a little bit
further south.
Montpelier. Their maintenance department.
I thought it was somewhere up in the northwest, but I'm not sure where Montpelier is.
Yeah,
I'm
sure.
Okay. Yeah.
They're the only ones that's very public about it.
But what I can tell you is we're going to commit to keep moving forward. I mean, that's the emphasis. I think the staff's heard that. I know the high school staff even talked about it again today in their meetings, and that's our commitment. So I appreciate it. And any time you have more information to share, I'd be happy to meet with you and talk about that as well, because that's how we're going to get better. So,
all right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, next up, Robin Jasper. I believe she wants to talk about, is that planned use of the middle school?
Yes.
That's okay, thank you.
Hi, I'm Robin Jasper. My son is a sophomore at the high school. I actually have two items. One, I want to call attention to a lighting issue at Bunsell Middle School. As you enter there in the evening, particularly during daylight savings times in the winter, there is no lighting at the entrance when you come off the route 4 to the school, and also the sites are not lit. given the amount of traffic and how quickly the traffic goes in on Route 4 outside of school hours, I think that is dangerous, and I would like to call it to the Marysville School's attention. We cannot see, and particularly visitors coming to the school to attend games. They don't live in our district. They drive past it all the time. There is no, the school is lit. The driveway and the sign are not lit. My other issue is just to inquire from the board as to the status of the future use of the middle school. I know when Bunsold Intermediate and Bunsold Middle School were built, it was at a time where we were experiencing growth in our district. That has been 5 years now since that levy was passed and the building started. And I was just wondering, where have we reached a point where Creekview and Bunsold are at high enough capacity to justify opening up the middle school again? What renovations are needed? Are there ADA compliance issues? Are we reaching a point where we will have two intermediate schools, Creekview and Bunsold Intermediate, and two middle schools, Marysville Middle School and Bunsold Middle School?
Can I take all that? To start, I would not disagree with what you're saying about lighting. I'm not even sure that the parking lot is as bright as it should be at times. When you go in the morning, that's something we talked about prior. So I recognize that as well. The issue with the middle school, right now we're not at capacity at Creekview and Bunsold, and we're running pretty efficiently, so it would almost be fiscally irresponsible to open this building. We would like to find another use for this building. We're talking to different places to try to find a use for this building. We don't want to make a huge commitment to someone, more than, you know, like a year at a time, because we hope someday we can put it to use. People we have had come in struggle. Quite frankly, it's built to be a school. It's not built to be anything but that. We've had the hospital in and some other groups. The functionality is really around school. So one of the things I talked about earlier is our partnership with the Y. They have a need they have a gymnastics team that is a majority of Marysville students. There we'll be using our gymnasium this year. So that's one way that we're trying to use that in trade for their personnel. They'll be using the gym and running the gymnastics program out of there. But we are still looking for functionality for this building. Did I answer all of those in there?
Yes, okay. You did. And the reason I bring it up, because it's an issue I hear often mentioned why people are opposed to a levy. So I think if it is explained to them that way, just fiscally, we can't justify two intermediate schools and two middle schools, because every time they drive past here, they see an empty building. And with that, if it's not in the future, in the short term, I would ask the board to consider how are they going to support athletics at Bunsold Middle School rather than the reliance on a lot of the facilities here to support middle school athletics, particularly track and football. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And is there anybody else that didn't get to sign up? All right. Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the minutes from the August 5th, 2013 meeting and the...
July 18th.
Are we missing the 18th?
July 18th, no.
I got
August 5th and August 6th.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so I need a motion to approve the minutes from July 18th, August 5th, and August 6th. So all of those combined, can I get a motion to approve those, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. Is there any discussion? Mr. Lasseter?
I have a question.
Yes, sir?
Have we been getting the audios up on Board Docs? Is that
yes.
What it is? Okay. Because I checked shortly after the last meeting and I didn't see them.
They are not on Board Docs. They're on the regular board.
Okay, so we're keeping them on the regular site?
Right now.
Okay, got it.
I haven't been able to do that either. One step at a time.
Because I thought it said, like, go to Board Docs after such and such.
Well, we've got audios on the regular website.
At what point will everything be in the same place?
Hopefully soon. It just with school starting. And
yeah, I wasn't. Yeah. I was just curious.
It takes a while to figure out exactly.
As long as it's out there.
Mm-hmm. Any further discussion? Hearing none, then I need a roll call, please.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mayne?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the Treasurer CFO action items, and those would be the attachments in your agenda. Can I get a motion to approve those, please?
Second.
Moved and second. Cindy, do you want to cover anything on there? Can you see mine?
Delegate for SBA.
Yeah. Oh, yes. We need the delegate and the...
That's going to have to be Sue and Amy.
I guess so, right?
Yeah.
Well, it could be anybody. I mean,
you're still...
Well, I guess it is. Yeah, that's right. Still there.
It's this year. I mean, it's still November, so you've got a delegate.
And it could be. I mean, you can't assume you're going to win.
It's November.
No, well, I could, but that would be...
Yeah. So it could be anybody that's on board right now. Mm-hmm. Can be that as the delegate, and so I just need...
I think I was the delegate last year.
You did such a great job.
I would be honored to be the delegate again this year.
Okay.
Don't you need a backup on it?
Yeah, and I need the alternate.
Amy?
Amy would love to be the alternate. I think it's November 10th through the 13th.
Yeah.
And that is making a commitment those 3 days to be gone?
No. I think you just have to be there.
Be there Monday afternoon.
Day. Yeah.
Actually.
Okay. If Sue can't show up.
If Sue can't show up.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
The monthly information is for the July finances. There's nothing really major in there. And then the advance of the back to the general fund from those grants, from the federal grants, we got the money late July, early August, so we need to move that back into our own fund instead of letting it there. So that's. And then the student activity budgets are those that are done every year, as provided by the activity advisors. So.
Gotcha. All right. Any questions or discussion?
I just have to say how nice I need the FFA one.
it's just so structured.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing the amount that runs through that account. It's incredible.
And they do such a fine job.
They do an outstanding job, no question.
You're getting it from an accountant.
So. All right. Any further questions, comments? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lasseter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the retirement of our treasurer, Cindy Ritter.
Effective December
31st. Oh, I'm sorry, effective December 31st.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and second. I would just like to say, you know, Cindy's been in the district almost 4 years now, and mm-hmm. certainly been doing this for a long time. And I think it's you know, when you have the opportunity to kind of get away from that, retire, do some family stuff, I think that's I think that's great for you. And certainly, you're not gone yet, but certainly, you know, wish you the best. And you've done a good job for us, so we appreciate the work that you've done.
I would say, I mean, if you look at her hours, she probably already put in the full 5 years.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt, yeah.
I think so.
I would agree.
I mean, we've been through some really tough times, and, you know, and I think we've landed in a pretty good place. And Cindy's very much been part of that, I think, success, so.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Greatly appreciate all the hours, all the reports, all the numbers. It's overwhelming.
Okay, any further discussion?
Thank you.
To be okay if I...
Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry, Ms. Mankins.
I just like to thank Cindy. She's been a fantastic resource for me in a totally atypical school year. And certainly she has helped me understand a lot more than I did a year ago this time. And been a great mentor for me in a lot of ways. So thank you, Cindy, as well.
Okay. Can I get a roll call, please?
Mr. Lasseter.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mabee.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Mr. Devine.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, Bill Reimer's here, as a coincidence, to talk to us about a search for a new treasurer.
I guess I have a handout for you. So if you take one of those, and then take one of these, and the third one of those. I was asked to come, and people that know me best here also asked me to keep it short. So I'll do that. My understanding is that you are interested in considering having the Educational Service Center do your search for your new treasurer. And you're at an advantage, I think, to many people, and that's why I can promise to do this very short, is that I don't have to go through the whole process with you because you've gone through it yourselves before. We've led your search, and my understanding is you're quite pleased with the results of that. Hopefully we'll be able to have the same kinds of results for you this time. The first sheet I sent and gave to you, though, the first set is a couple of pages that's marked as proposal. And that proposal, again, it'll look familiar to you, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing in the interest of time. But what I do want to point out to you is that we've got a very definitive process, and it's very similar to the one that you went through when you searched for a superintendent. The one thing that has changed would be on the third page of this handout, or the first handout I gave to you, the one that third page is titled Costs. And if you look at that, the costs for this kind of search have changed a little bit for the ESC, and you need to give that consideration. In the past, we used to have a cost, and we'd estimate the cost to be anywhere from $6,000 to $9,000 to do a search, and then that cost was waived for our member districts. Because of changes in state funding that ESCs have felt this year, the same as school districts have, we've had to change our funding outline. And so if you see you've got three different options. The first option is just a paper kind of search, and our charge for that is $6,500. The second option is a targeted search, and that includes the paper search, but it also includes going out and seeking outstanding treasurers and seeing if we can't interest them in the Marysville opportunity. And then the third one is continuing support afterward for that year after in assisting the board in developing objectives for the new treasurer and also evaluation of the new treasurer. And there's a cost to that. But you note in the middle of that page what we've done with options one and two is say that if it's a member district that's interested in the Educational Service Center doing that search, it's cut by 50%. So if you decided you were going to do a targeted search for $9,000, the cost would really be $4,500, plus any expenses that are incurred. The expenses are usually not very much. They're maybe $60,000, $70,000. The expenses are, they really are fairly dangerous.
Just checking to make sure for a week.
And then we give you information there. I've been told that I would lead that search if you chose to have us do that.
Yes.
I assume because of familiarity with the district. And some of you are aware I led the treasurer search for New Albany last year. And I also led the Hilliard and the Dublin superintendent searches last year. So as I've said to people over and over, I really am as old as I look. And I'm that's what I wanted to point out to you on that. The other thing that I wanted to say to you is that sometime, if you do decide that you're going to go ahead with us, you need to identify for us one or two board members that I can work with directly when I need to just get answers very quickly from one or two that'll be really in charge of running the search, if you will, and then keeping the rest of the board informed. I'm also willing to come out on a regular basis each month, every other month, whatever you would like, and just make an update report, or the one or two people that you name as your representatives can do the same thing. And they'll talk less than I do.
I wouldn't count on it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't put any money on that.
That's
right. I wouldn't put any money on that.
The second sheet I gave to you was a draft of what a posting might look like for Marysville. And it is intended to be just a draft. You can see it just lists various things in it. But the part I wanted to point out to you is on the back page, the application process, and there's a tentative timeline in there. And again, it's draft. I had it down as application deadline October 4th. I already would recommend to you that that be October 10th. So it really is intended to be draft, but I finalized that calendar with your two people that you wanted to have work really at length on. But the whole idea, in my understanding from you, was that if possible, you'd like to be able to take board action on the hiring by your November 21st board meeting, so that you could pretty much be assured that right after the first of the year, you could have a treasurer able to start and go. That's what you would attempt to do.
Correct.
That's what we would attempt to do. Mm-hmm. So that's just for your view also. And then the last item that I gave you was an example of a treasurer search that we just completed at Chillicothe, and it has to do with developing the profile for the kind of person you're looking for in your treasurer. And the districts that we work with typically provide an opportunity, if they want, for their finance committee or for their community at large or for their staff to participate in this kind of thing by allowing them to go online and to be able to fill out a profile assessment where they get to say, well, this is what I think you ought to be looking for. And of course, as usual in the hiring of a superintendent or a treasurer, the final decision is the board's. And so what we do is, if you want that kind of thing to happen, we set it all up for you. We tell you where set up the websites and everything, tell you how to get your people into it that want to participate. We summarize it, and then I'll bring back the summary to you as a board, and you can consider that before you finalize the actual profile that says, this is the kind of person we're looking for. These are the kind of strengths that we want in this person. But that's a decision, again, you have to make along the way. Any questions for me?
Oh, yeah. Okay, looking at that calendar and putting together our profile, as we stretch that calendar out a little bit, when does our profile need to be done? And when I assume it's got to be done when we post it. So if we look backwards from October 10th, when do we have to have that profile done? I mean, I assume we have to sit down at a meeting and talk, and we did that, you know, the last time.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to sit and gather our thoughts and go through that profile process. When do you see us having to do that?
Well, believe it or not, you really don't have to have the profile done when you make the posting. We found that we can, in general terms, and you'll notice in that example posting, we've made some descriptors there, and it's almost descriptors that everybody would say, well, of course we want that in our treasurer.
Right.
It's not, as they used to say, brain surgery. It's pretty clear cut what you would be after. So at least for the initial announcement, you don't have to have that specific profile. What we recommend for developing the profile is to have it in place in time for the interviews, because you should use that as your guide when you're looking at people and talking about people. We would have you, frankly, even scoring people according to your profile, what it was that you thought was most important. So in answer to your question, Jeff, I would say if we had those dates roughly the way they are there, that probably we'd start profile development within the next couple of weeks, and probably we'd have it online, and your people would be able to participate, say, September 9th through the 13th.
Okay.
And then with the idea that we would have summaries of all of the input that anybody else had in that available to you at your September board meeting for you to discuss as a board, and then at that meeting you could finalize a profile.
Okay, that's all right. Yeah, that works out good.
What, in terms of timing, looking for a treasurer, is this kind of a more challenging time to be doing that? Because I know, like with the superintendent search, we we had a good sampling of people in the fall, but we ended up waiting until the spring. So I guess I don't have a treasurer's look in that.
I don't think you'd have to wait till spring. This is a busy time for treasurers, particularly because of the major work that has to be done on the revision of the 5-year financial forecast. And that work, of course, has to be completed at the end of October. So this really is a busy time for treasurers. That's partly why my suggestion, when we get to first round interviews, I had them at October 25th. I would probably push those back a little bit, a week or so, and we'd have time to do that, I think, and
right.
Still make it work. Probably the very best time for you to be looking for one or going out looking for one would probably be October to, right after the first of the year. But more and more treasurers are doing the same thing that more and more superintendents are doing, and that is they're making changes even during the year. And that's partly because more and more treasurers and superintendents, frankly, are retiring mid-year, too. And so there are openings more at that time. So we're pretty confident that you could get a good slate of people. If it turned out you didn't and it wasn't satisfactory, we'd know that early enough that we could be prepared to go back out again right after the first of the year, too.
And if we did end up doing something like that, I assume the cost is the same or do we have to pay another $9,000?
No.
Or $4,500?
That covers the search.
You just have to pay money.
The search also.
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I know we were certainly very, very impressed with the process we went through for our superintendent, mm-hmm. and certainly very comfortable with it. So,
I agree.
Definitely. It would be very, I think those of you, well, you all experienced that. I think you would find that to be very similar. It would be a very similar kind of process.
How many active searches do you have going on right now? The ESC, not you.
The ESC has just finished the search for treasurer for Chillicothe. And we are just beginning a search, different individuals leading it, for Findlay City Schools. That's what we have right now.
Okay. I just kind of wondering who we're going to be competing with when we put our application out there.
The Findlay City Schools is for a superintendent.
Oh, okay. So there's no current...
Chillicothe was a treasurer.
I got it. Okay.
So that's the only one that we're doing. But we don't go out... looking for a lot of search jobs. We mainly center it around our member districts.
Right.
Help with that, yeah. If districts want.
Okay. All right. Are there any other questions for Bill?
No.
Thank you. Next up on the agenda is then to approve the contract with the ESC, because like I said, we're very comfortable with the process that we went through to find Diane. Certainly was very successful, and the targeted search model, I think, for us worked very, very well. So, yes, sir.
If you wanted to just pass a resolution that you would engage the ESC and have those general within the general parameters that I just read,
yes,
what we would do is do a statement of work. Diane's seen those before, and we'd get that out to you. I'd do that right away.
Yep. Okay, the next up then I need a motion to, to approve the use of the ESC for the targeted search for the amount of $4,500 plus expenses to engage for our treasurer search then.
Second.
Moved and second. Was there any other discussion about the ESC? Okay, hearing none then, I need a roll call.
Mr. Lassiter.
Yes.
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Mady.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Then we'll look for that. Then. And then who wants to raise their hand and do the treasurer search?
I'd like to be involved. I don't know. I mean, if it makes sense for me knowing that I'm going to be rolling off the board to do that, then I would do it. I would do it. It's just there was thoughts on us rolling off the board and not.
Well, I'd certainly like to have at least Sue or Amy need to be part of that process. Mm-hmm. So if you two want to do it, that's fine. I'd be happy to do it as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Right on. Sue and Dove will be your contact people for that. And they'll run that. So. Good. That clears up my plate a little bit.
That's right. You are going to be kind of busy, aren't you?
Yeah, that's all right. Okay, next up, I need a motion to approve the superintendent relocation package as an item as part of her contract. That is to include any necessary expenses for temporary lodging not to exceed $20,000 in total. As you recall, those were kind of something we talked about when we hired on Diane. You know, she's trying to sell a house. We asked her to move her family up here to rent a place, to make house payments, and so we want to make sure we're doing the right thing and the fair thing for her. And we certainly don't want her to go bankrupt to move up here. I'm sure she doesn't either. So that would finalize any of that. That would just change the clause in her contract. And of course, we would need documentation of those expenses. And it's an up to amount, not to exceed. So, I need a motion to approve that, please.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, hearing none, then can I get a roll call?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Bowers?
Yes.
Mr. Levy?
Yes.
Mr. Vaughn?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the superintendent items 12-1 and 12-2, the HR action items and the other superintendent action items. Can I get a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Mrs. Mankins.
As you can see, we have a healthy list of hires to kind of finish out the year. Cindy's retirement is also reflected on there again.
That's only for the fact that it has to be on your HR items. It's obviously a separate.
Right.
Okay.
And then supplemental positions that have started and been submitted. Home instructors. We also had a volunteer coach. And two interim positions for the school year. First one. Sorry, it always takes my iPad a little bit to catch up. We have an overnight golf trip as well. I believe that was to the Hudson area, if I remember right. If you have any questions, I think the coach might be here.
I wondered if we'd done a background check. Okay.
We have a policy for positive behavior intervention support. It's required to be a policy that we did not have in there. Lease agreement with Columbus State. That's no different than we've had prior with Columbus State, and it depends on their enrollment if they actually have the class at the high school. Donations. I believe this is kind of an annual piece through Mo Valley to get the
author
yes. visit from Nestle's, if I can say that all together. And then the golf, the same golf tournament, right?
Yeah.
And bus stops. There's a healthy list of bus stops if you read through all of those. I think that covers everything on my part.
If we could just talk about bus stops real quick. Just to make sure, point out, since we're at a public meeting, that you can get to your bus stop through Power School now, correct?
Correct. It is now posted to your account. If you don't have your account logged in, you can contact your school. They can give that to you, or they can also tell you what the bus stop is and the time. They also have those lists available. There's several open houses earlier this evening, and they were going to have someone from the Transportation Department present as well and help parents.
Right. Okay. I just want to make sure we pointed that out.
Yes.
Okay. That it?
That's it.
Any questions or discussion on those?
I know. I see a couple of familiar names on that list.
You know, I was going to mention something. I saw Mike Tobin stand up at the convocation, and since I remember him in middle school playing football, it reminded me how old I'm getting when he's one of our teachers.
Emily, what's her name? Latham.
Yeah.
Samsel.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nice
to
see some grads.
Tobin actually was the last hire I had, maybe.
I believe he was, because I don't think he was.
The day before convocation.
Yeah.
But certainly has some great ideas.
Yeah, it was just kind of funny to see the kids that your kids grew up with are now.
Right. So. Teaching.
Okay, any other discussion? Hearing none, then, can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Devine.
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Neely?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the MEA contract. Moved and second. Did you want that down? I certainly would, you know, would like to say it's Sue and I were both on the negotiations committee, and it was certainly a very lengthy process, but a very good process. You know, I think this contract, it's a very fair contract. It's one of those where nobody got everything they wanted, but I think everybody got something that they wanted. And we certainly stayed within our parameters and our budget to make sure we're not in deficit spending, out what we had targeted. I also think it's nice that we're able to compensate our teachers. Mm-hmm. You know, to they've been on a freeze for the last couple of years anyways, and not even our teachers, our entire staff. I mean, so being able to bump them up a little bit and I don't reward them, I suppose. I'm not really sure that's the right word, but that's so I'm happy that we have that ability to do that. You know, we certainly appreciate the sacrifices that they've made for the district. And so.
Well, I was just kind of thinking how, you know, we want our teachers to support and encourage and challenge our kids, and we need to do that with our staff as well. You know, I mean, it's a team effort. So
absolutely, and I certainly want to thank the MEA side for an honest and a good open conversation that we had through the whole process. Open, sometimes loud, sometimes not loud, but it was okay. It was a very good.
We left as friends.
Absolutely,
I think.
It was a good process, okay. and it's one that I believe in, and I believe it in the end of the day it gets a good result. So, so I would encourage this board to approve that contract. I stand solely behind it. So.
Well, I want to say that a lot of what you said was almost right off my notes, so you saved me half the time. But I was just very pleased with the outcome. I mean, you know, there's coming off of everything we went through during, you know, starting back in December and enrolling into this, just to see that we were able to take care of the staff. And I really feel like that, you know, taking care of employees is very important and to the success of the school. But also coming out of that, just like you said, staying out of deficit spending. I think the last couple contracts that I've looked at, we've always been in deficit spending coming out of those contracts, and I think that's the importance is, you know, the real importance is that we have stability now with this. So we're able to take care of staff and provide stability financially, which I think is great for staff, children, and the community. So we can focus in on just what we do, and that is education. You know, I think there's a lot of other good things in there, making the 4-7-5 more transparent and not make and taking care of the staff in the process of that transition. I like the fact that, you know, at the end of the 2 years, we're actually going to sit down and negotiate again of what's fair for salaries rather than having an automatic perpetual salary increase, which leads to those typically deficit spending situations. We have the flexibility to deal with our finances, so it puts us more in control, which I think I was very pleased at the outcome of the process. And I thank everybody, you guys and you guys for all the hard effort into it. So,
okay. Any other comments?
Well, I'm just happy that we were able to give you guys something with all the sacrifices that you made and taking the freeze voluntarily there to get us back on our feet. And after December, it sure did end on a nice note that we were able to come in and everybody work together again. So, thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll just shortly say that I am happy and that from the reports, everything went so well, and that it does create such a stable environment for everyone because it has been so rocky since December, and so sure everyone can just breathe easy.
Kind of get back to doing what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. So, did you want to make?
Absolutely. I brought it up at first, and then you started. So, I would echo everything you said. Certainly, it was a learning experience for me, first time going through that. It was insightful to sit together and have those conversations. It's certainly a difficult time to be a teacher. There is so much change beyond
student achievement with the new evaluation system. We have new principals. We have new standards. We have a superintendent that's going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and looking at innovation. And, you know, I think we had great conversations and reached a reasonable compromise. Certainly the staff here is what makes this place special. And they have gone above and beyond, you know, on more than one occasion to try to help in different ways, whether it's the campaigning for the levy or taking a freeze or, you know, just doing what needs to be done because it's the right thing to do. And it's nice to be able to, you know, incentivize that or be able to give back part of what they lost. It's impossible to give back everything and make it back where it was, but I think we reached a good compromise and were able to settle things fairly. So it's a great opportunity.
Okay. Any other discussion? Not hearing none, then can I get a roll call?
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the modification to the classified salary schedule for 2013-14 and
14-15. So moved.
I'll second that. Moved and second. Would you want to touch on that just a little bit?
In essence, traditionally it's been a Me Too clause with our classified staff, and so that we issued a new salary schedule and rolled that over to the classified staff as well.
And again, I would like to say that it's nice to give back to them as well, although they were on a salary freeze. It wasn't necessarily a voluntary one.
Right.
So they got a salary freeze, and they really had no say about it. So it's the, you know, it's nice to again give back to those folks as well. So any other discussion on that?
Well, and transportation is not part of that.
Right.
Correct. Transportation is not a part of that because we are still in. We cannot do that because we're still in negotiations with the bus driver union. So once you're in that process, it has to stay put until that process would end or.
Or whatever.
Until there's a settlement, so it
right.
Reaches a conclusion.
Okay.
So that's why they are excluded.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, then can I get a roll call?
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Next up, I need a motion to approve the administrative salary schedule for the 13-14 and 14-15 school year. So can I get a motion to approve that, please?
Second.
Moved and second. Can you touch on that as well, please?
Sure. As well, administrators have stayed in a freeze for a while. So the recommendation is to do a 1.5% increase for this year and remove the furlough day. That were part of the reduction plan. And then next year they will stay flat and move to an incentive performance-based system. That will be a four-goal-driven system where they're able to add a percent as an incentive one-time payment, so it does not add to their base for the upcoming year. So it would be mutually agreed upon goals. Upon attainment, they could get anywhere from 0 to 4% of an increase based on that.
Is any of that based on the OPEZ?
It will be solely based on the
it's
OPEZ.
It's solely based on, okay.
It'll all be related to the OPEZ.
Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. Very good. Any other questions?
Does that require that all those contracts be redone, administrative contracts?
It will require
new salary schedules, new salary notices to everybody.
But not the contracts
not
themselves.
The contracts itself.
Good
and I would say the same. The administrative team certainly has taken a hit and done a lot, again, with less. Certainly reductions in the office this year, too, are going to be impactful as well. And great group of people who have definitely rolled up their sleeves and done quite a bit. And I would also say that this increase does not encompass any new administrators that joined the team this year. It will just do existing. All of the new administrators are on a performance-based system, have been hired in on a performance-based system already.
Okay. Did we need a roll call on that? Can I get a roll call, please?
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Mabee?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Last up is comments and questions from the board. So I will, Mrs. Powers, did you have anything to close with?
Just say I'm excited. I'm looking forward to this year. All the new things coming up. I think it's going to be an exciting year, and I think that we're going to do nothing but grow. I'm really looking excited for it, and that's about it.
Mr. Laster.
I have to echo that. I mean, I'm excited that, you know, just seeing where things are going on, you know, educationally, but then also just the finances. I a lot of people don't like to look at numbers. I love to look at numbers, and it's nice to look at numbers that are black all the way through.
Yeah.
I think people will grow to appreciate that. I mean, just because you're not going to be at, we're always talking about cuts and looming cuts and worrying about what's going to happen, and we stay in control with our finances the way we plan to, watching the deficit spending, being very calculated with our decisions, and working together to kind of find fair solutions, when I think this district has a very bright future.
Ms. Greer.
I'm excited for Monday. Seems like there's just like so much more energy going on, you know, with the staff and everything. It's been a very nice year. Looking forward to the next one.
Ms. Devine.
I have to second that. I mean, I'm just really excited for the school year. I'm sorry I don't have a child in the system anymore.
Are you really?
But I'm looking
really?
Forward. No, really, one of my goals this year was to get out to the buildings on a regular basis, so I'm really excited to get out there and visit some of our new principals who I've known for a while. Mr. Cook had one of my sons. My son thought he was wonderful. So I'm just excited to see what's going on here, and appreciate everything that everyone's doing.
Great. I mean, I will echo that. I think, you know, after given where we were 8 months ago, you know, we're standing in the doorway, I think, of really, you know, opening that door to greatness. I mean, I think our potential for this district is just, it's incredible where we're at right now. We're standing on very solid ground. I like where we're at. I like, you know, get past the contract, and we just kind of just move forward and do what we do. So I'm very excited for this year myself, I'll be honest with you. So.
And
the last
year with all different kind of levels, because I'll have 10 of them in.
So the last thing is to schedule a special meeting, a working session for our finances. Sue had asked that we do it after the 1st of October.
Right.
So how does everybody look 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th of October? What are we thinking? How about the 1st? It's Tuesday, or are we better with Thursdays?
Doesn't
matter.
Yeah.
How about the 1st?
I would rather Thursday.
Okay, yeah, Thursday. Right. How about the 3rd?
Okay.
3rd, Cindy, okay, on the 3rd?
That's later.
Okay.
6:30.
So 6:30. We have to be 6:30 so Tracy can get it.
Yeah, I'll be happy to have it at 6:30.
Okay, so 6:30 on the 3rd then. Okay, and that's Ms. Mankins. Did you have any closing comments you guys made?
No, just excited to get everything going. I thought yesterday was a great day, and teachers were excited, and there's nothing like the enthusiasm of the first day of school, so can't wait for Monday.
Fantastic. Cindy, do you have anything closing? All right, then I need a motion to move into executive session to discuss personnel.
So moved. Second.
Moved and second. Roll call, please. No, Amy moved.
Okay, got it. Mrs. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Lassiter?
Yes.
Mrs. Greer?
Yes.
Mrs. Devine?
Yes.
Mr. Mays?
Yes, we are in executive session at 8:15.
What time?